Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Mumias, Kenya. We've been working on a solar panel system out at the Living Water Farm, and we're getting set up to do more acacias. We had acacia last Friday night. That's an all-night prayer meeting. It's a traditional all-night prayer meeting here in Africa, and we started at 8 p.m. in the evening, and we went till about 4 o'clock the next morning, and then we had tea and mandazi, a pastry, at the end of the session at 4 a.m., and we dismissed at 5 a.m. So it was a powerful time, and the Lord had 3 different preachers, lots of worship, lots of praise, lots of dancing, and so God was very good to us to have 60 people there in the acacia that stayed all night, many children, and so it was a blessing, and I hope someday you can come to Africa too and join us in acacia and join us to pray for this country of Kenya. Well, today we're going to be talking about the value of work. This is a subject that is appropriate here in Africa and also very appropriate here in America, because we have many people that are clamoring for socialist or communist type systems here in America. It seems that on the horizon of many politicians' platform is the idea that we should not reward individuals for their individual effort and individual entrepreneurship, that we should just all collectively divide up the pie and everybody gets an equal amount, no matter how much they have put into it or how much they have taken out. And so we are going to be talking about the value of work. What does God say about work? What does God say about individual pursuit, individual entrepreneurship, the blessings that come when a person diligently applies himself and works? And so God has something to say about this, as you can imagine. And I should just say also, in regards to America and the political platforms, it is a popular thing, especially among young people, to talk about socialism, because many people, especially those who have been to college, have been in a very liberal and somewhat Marxist atmosphere. They've also, many of them, piled up a great amount of student debt in their pursuit of their education, and so they're very interested in not having to have to pay that off. They're very interested in trying to find a way for someone else to foot the bill. And so in America, what do? We look for the government to always pick up the bill when we don't want to pay. And granted, there has always been some degree of collective activity in America, and that is good. That is God's plan, collective activity in terms of building hospitals or building roads, those big major projects that transcend or go beyond the ability of one individual to accomplish. And that's all well and good that people pool their resources, people pool their ingenuity and their desire to get things done together. That's all well and good. But it is a socialist system is putting in the hands of the government the directive, you might say, or the direction of the whole economy, so that it takes over every person's life, and the government determines where a person will work, how much they will work, what happens with their money, what happens with their resources after they've worked. And so that is what I'm speaking against, because I believe the Bible speaks against that. I believe the Bible encourages individual pursuit, individual entrepreneurship and activity, and that we be responsible for our own decisions in what we want to pursue as far as a livelihood, and what we want to pursue as far as even what we do with our money after we have worked. And so that is what we're going to be talking about today. Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's speaking to baby Christians. All of his letters were to new believers, new churches that he had established. And this one is in Thessalonica, up in Greece or in Asia. And he says to them, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us." He's talking about us, is himself and either Timothy or Barnabas or some of the other disciples that walked with him. He says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you." Verse 8, "Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority," that is, authority to be a pastor and not to work, or the authority just to serve the flock. "Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." And so the Apostle Paul, if you can just imagine, he was God's foremost missionary, God's number one missionary sent out from Antioch along with Barnabas. And so he traveled for many years. He traveled really basically all the rest of his life up into Asia, all the way to Rome, maybe even to Spain, and came back to Antioch, came back to Jerusalem at different times. But he was an apostle because he was the sent one, and he is the example, not only for those people there in Thessalonica, but he is the example for us. But Apostle Paul ended up writing about 13 books of the New Testament, and that is a testament to his great work. So he was writing, he was ministering, he was preaching, he was sometimes in jail, he was sometimes shipwrecked. He had quite a life as an apostle. I can relate to a little bit of it because I've been traveling in East Africa for quite a few years now, and I've had a lot of experiences, a lot of different ways that I have traveled, and not only just traveled, but I've ministered and kept working at the same time. When I was here in Mumias, Kenya, we have a farm here, so I've been able to keep working and do that. And also I can relate because when I was in America, I worked on my shamba there. I had a farm out there in Kansas, and at the same time I was ministering in the prisons in not only Kansas, but some in Colorado. And so I can relate because I was not being paid to minister. Nobody was giving me a paycheck for preaching or being a pastor. And so I had to keep working. Many times I was out at the farm working, and I would work till 5 o'clock and get my clothes changed and rush into town and start preaching at the prison at 5:30, or have to go into the prison at 5:30. I did that for many years. Over the years, I preached over 2,000 services in the prisons. I'm not saying this to boast. I'm just saying that I can relate to what the Apostle Paul is saying, because he says that we worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Well, when I first started preaching, I never really even thought of appealing to anybody to support me as a preacher or a minister in a prison. It's just commonly not done in America. People don't get paid, generally speaking, people don't get paid for prison ministry. And so Paul is saying here, I toiled, I labored, so I didn't want to be a burden to any of you. I wanted to show myself as an example to you that this is the way that you should behave. This is the way you should conduct your life. And here in Kenya, we have many people. It is tropical here, as you probably know. It is very nice weather here. You can walk up and down the road and just eat sugar cane every day and wear rags for clothes. And really, you can get by for a long time. Lay down and sleep somewhere where there's a little shelter under a tree, or there are some storefronts that have shelters over them. And so you can get by that way for many years without any real desire to work. And so we have many lazy people here in Africa. We have many people that are walking up and down the street, and when they don't get their own sugar cane to chew on, then they have their hand out begging for 20 shillings or 5 shillings or 10 shillings, or they beg for mandazi. And so we have a culture here of people that are lazy, people that don't want to work. There's also many people that want to work that can't find a job, and that's another issue too, because of the corruption here in Kenya, there are many people who can't find a job. They even have some of them diplomas or tech college degrees or something like that. Some of them even with university degrees, they can't find a job. But I believe everybody can work. They can go find a hoe somewhere and go visit their uncle's farm or their neighbor's farm or their cousin's farm, and they can go help dig the weeds. They can go help plant the maize. And so I believe every single person has an obligation, a duty, because this is God's will that we not be a burden to other people, that we not put ourselves in a place of having to depend on other people to supply our bread. Okay, well, in verse 10, in 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." And so this is directly from the Word of God, beloved. This is directly from the Word of God. And I am thankful and grateful for the welfare system that we have in America. I know there are people who get broken down through sickness, and there are people who get broken down from just circumstances in life, and maybe they have a fire in their house, or maybe they have a tornado or some kind of calamity, a natural occurrence, natural events, and other people maybe from sickness, they can't work, they get down and they get behind in their bills. I understand that, and so does the average American. They understand that, and they're willing to help people that really truly need help. And we have a great welfare system or a great support net, and there is nothing like that here in Africa. There basically is no support net. If you don't have any money, you go beg, and if you can't beg from your family or friends, or you don't have any family or friends, then you beg on the street. And so I'm thankful and grateful for the welfare system, the support net that we have, the safety net that we have here in America. But many, many people have taken advantage of it. Many people have grown up in a welfare family or a welfare system, and they don't see any value to work, because they know that you can figure out ways to get food stamps, you can figure out ways to have children and get aid for dependent children, you can figure out ways to manipulate the system or scheme the system and get somebody to pay you to sit around and do nothing. And so that is a problem not only for America, but in other countries. In Europe, the taxes are so high that people basically give all or maybe half or two-thirds of their money to the state for the welfare state to support it. And so that is when it becomes a very big burden, is when you're paying other people to sit around and do nothing, and you're supporting their lifestyle, which is not a good thing. And so Paul says, "We commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." Well, you know, that word busybody, it connotes or brings to mind somebody who is walking around and always telling stories, always talking about something that happened, some exciting thing that happened someplace else, telling stories about other people, gossiping and slandering other people. And so Paul says, many of these people who are busybodies, they're not working at all. They're just going around, keeping themselves busy and trying to look like they are doing something. Well, I call that posturing. We see a lot of that here in Africa. We see people posturing. They're going down the road and they stop and talk. Every single person that comes along, they stop and talk to them. In Africa, you know, everybody is 2 hours behind, and they can't keep time because they have to stop and talk to everybody on the road and let everybody know what they're doing or ask everybody what they're doing. And so it's very difficult for them to keep time. Again, because it's tropical, everything is mañana attitude. You can get it done tomorrow if you didn't get it done today. There's no sense of urgency. and no sense of we need to get it done because winter is coming that you have in the temperate climate zones. So it is a whole different attitude here, but the climate here and just the culture encourages people to be busybodies, and many people don't get a lot done at the end of the day. There are people who work hard. There's many people here that work hard. They're good farmers, and they're good welders. There's people that work hard, and God bless them. And I know they're doing the best they can to try to pull themselves out of poverty. And so I praise God for that. I thank the Lord that there are many people here also who are good workers and hard workers. And so Paul goes on here in verse 12. He says, now those who are such, that he's talking about the busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Christ Jesus that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. In other words, don't look to other people to supply your bread. Stay busy. Find something to do. If you don't have a job, go volunteer helping somebody, and maybe they might take compassion on you or have compassion on your plight, and they might give you some food to eat, or they might give you money for your work. But he says, we exhort you through our Lord Christ Jesus. So Paul even invokes the Lord Christ Jesus' name. And he says that we encourage you, we exhort you to work in quietness and eat your own bread. And then in verse 13, you've all heard this scripture, I'm sure. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And so he's encouraged them, don't grow weary, don't quit, don't get upset because you have to toil all your life. That is just the human plight. That is our command from the Lord. Because Adam and Eve fell, because Adam and Eve sinned, we have to get our bread by toil. We have to get our bread and we get our increase from the earth by toil. That's why it's called work, because it's not easy. It's not a cakewalk. It's not a picnic. You take Sunday off, or you take one day of the week off to rest up and to focus your day on the Lord Jesus, and the other days of the week you need to work. You get a vacation maybe at the end of the year, or sometime during the year you get a 2-week or maybe a 3-week vacation. Or if you're a farmer, you may not get a vacation because you're busy most all the year, but you just have to take some time sometime and rest and go somewhere else so you can see something besides your own work. But Paul is saying in verse 13, as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. In other words, stay with it. Stay with it. Don't quit. Keep hanging in there. Get up each day and thank the Lord that he's given you another day. Thank the Lord that he is blessing you with a strong body. I've ministered to some people and they were wishing they didn't have to work and they didn't want to work. They were lazy. I've had many people who are drug addicts that I've counseled with over the years, or people that were just looking for an easy way. They sell drugs or they steal, or they're looking for an easy way through life. And I said, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask the Lord for. If you're asking the Lord for a life of ease where you don't have to work, if you're asking the Lord for money that you don't have to work for, or that you can just sit around and do nothing, I said, be careful what you ask for, because the Lord may give you what you're asking for and you will not like it. You will not want it. And so God has given us a strong body. For the most part, most people have a strong body. Most people are able-bodied. And if you have an able body, and you are a strong-bodied person, you need to get out and work. You need to get up each day with the attitude, I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me another day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And he's made this day so that you can get out and do your work. You can work quietly and eat your own bread. You can feed your family. If you have a family, you can feed your children. And so this is God's will for our life, beloved. And we don't, as children of God, we don't pray for a socialist system where everybody gets an equal piece of the pie. I don't resent people who have worked hard in their life and made lots of money. I do not resent them, and neither does God. He knows what they are doing with their money. He knows how they made their money. And God is the one that passes out judgment. God is the one that holds everybody accountable. And I don't care, and neither does God, if a person has $1 million or $1 billion or $10. God doesn't care. He knows how they made their money. He knows what they're doing with it. And he will bless anyone that has a lot of money. There are some very wealthy people, very extremely wealthy people, that help support Gather the Outcast ministry. And I'm very, very thankful for them. I am grateful for their support. And there are people who are very wealthy who do not support Gather the Outcast ministry or any other ministry. And I'm thankful for them also, because if they've worked and they have made their money and they've done it legally and honestly, then God will bless them and God will hold them accountable for what they do with their money. And verse 14, Paul goes on to say, "And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle or in this letter, note that person," or take note of that person, "and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed." And so Paul says, don't even associate with those people who sit around and do nothing, who are busybodies, who just go up and down the road begging or up and down the road gossiping and slandering. He's saying, don't even associate with them. Don't keep company with them, that they may be ashamed. Yet do not count them as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, if you see somebody doing that, I know it's a little bit difficult to get in their face and say, you know, brother, I think you need to pick up a hoe and find something to do. But I do it here in Kenya because I have contact with many young people. I have contact with street boys and street people. I say, you guys need to find something to do, anything besides just begging. I know you've had a rough life. I know you've had difficulty, lots of trials, lots of tribulations. But find something to do besides begging. We have two street boys that we're working with at the Living Water Farm right now. And it's Steve-O and Dougie. And we've been working with them for 3 or 4 months, trying to get them encouraged in the idea that they need to work and not just beg, that they need to settle down, sleep in a room that they're paying for. And they've been out on the street, both of these guys, for about 7 or 8 years, and so it becomes very difficult to break that street life out of them and lead them to a life, show them a life where they can actually work and make money, pay for their own room, pay for their own food, maybe even get married and have children someday. And so we are working with these street boys to try to encourage them to do things in a different way. And so that is God's will. Well, I'm going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul again here says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. And what he's talking about there, those that are outside the faith who are watching us, as Christians, there are many people who are watching us and they're seeing how we behave and how we treat each other and how we pursue our life, how we go about our business every day. And so Paul says that we have to be diligent in our work. We lead a quiet life. We mind our own business. We don't be busybodies. We don't go up and down the road just killing time and wasting our day away. And so Paul says other people are watching us, that they can learn from us how to live a quiet and a productive life. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord again for all the great projects going on in Africa. We do have a ministry to street children here. Mostly young boys get thrown out on the street and they beg, and we give them mandazi. We buy pastries and chapati for them. And then we minister, we pray with them. And so that's one of the projects that we have going here in Africa. Two of the boys I told you about, Steve-O and Dougie, we're trying to help them get stabilized, to actually pay their own rent and buy their own food and teach them how to work, teach them the value and the blessing of hard work so that they can be proud of their life and they can have something to show for their life besides just begging. Well, Gather the Outcast, again, is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to support this ministry, keep these radio broadcasts coming, keep the crusades going in Africa, keep the Children's Home Project going in Africa, and we thank the Lord for all the great things that He has allowed us to do. You can be a part of it as well. Write us a letter. Let us know that you're listening. Include a check to support us, and you will be blessed. God will see your diligence. He will see your faithfulness, and you will be blessed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.